The Joe Rogan Experience.
Train by day, Joe Rogan podcast by night, all day.
Powerful Tommy Buns is back. Where'd you guys go? You went with Joey somewhere?
Yeah, Joey and I did the Calusa Casino in Northern California. And
what
then
part
we did,
of California is that?
That's like, it's an hour from Sacramento.
Ah.
And then we did McDonald Theater in Eugene, Oregon on Saturday.
Wow, Eugene, Oregon must have been fun.
Yeah, they had snow, like they had a snowstorm the night before, and all we were like, yeah, it's fucking Oregon, like they get snow, big deal. We get there and they're like, we haven't had snow in 4 years. And we're like, oh,
wow.
Because they didn't plow any roads, none. So everything was
really?
Just caked over, iced over.
That becomes a real problem.
I thought it happened all the time there.
Do you remember when they did that in New York City?
When it snowed and they didn't plow?
Well, they didn't plow.
No.
There was a big deal. It was a couple of years ago. There was a huge thing where they didn't budget correctly, and they had
a
big snowstorm, and people were trying to get out. They're like, where the fuck are the plows?
Yeah, it's funny. There's certain – you can tell who's set up, who's used to snow because of the roads. Like when you're in Minneapolis and they'd be like, you know, 8 inches fell last night. You're like, ooh, I wonder how that'll – you step outside and you just see – you see black, like they paved it immediately. You don't see any white. And they're just on top of that shit, man. And then you go, like, clearly, like, we were like, oh, you guys never get snow here because the road. And then I saw today people who were at the shows. I went to their Twitter, and they're like, roads are still shit. Like, haven't done anything for, like, 3 days.
Well, there was a video, a famous video from Oregon of these people sliding on this icy road.
Really?
Yeah, it's a famous video because – I guess they're just notoriously shitty at plowing because it doesn't snow very often.
They didn't do a fucking thing.
This video is ridiculous. It's like 10 minutes long of people just crashing into each other.
Hilarious.
Just standing there watching people come down this road and smash into each other.
Dude, the funny thing is the promoter called us a few hours before the show. And she's like, man, we've been getting a lot of phone calls of people like, I can't drive in this. We're not going to make it. She's like, a lot. I don't know how many people are going to be at your show. And I was like, well, I mean, you know, there's nothing we can do about that. Like, okay.
Right.
And then we get there, and there's still, like, a great turnout. Everybody who came was a podcast listener.
Look at this.
Whoa.
Boom. Look how they're sliding all over the place. I mean, that is fucking ice.
Yeah.
That guy can't stop his car. Look, he's just going to slide in that car behind him. This is ridiculous.
My God. Is that Portland?
He can't stop it.
Oh, shit.
Boom.
And
that car's
going.
Sliding. They're all sliding. The whole thing is ice. That is fucking terrifying. Because what to the right? That's water.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Dude, that shit is absolutely terrifying.
Where's this guy?
Bridges are a real problem. Bridges, for some reason, because they're not connected to the earth, that ground freezes super quick. So if you're in a place and it starts getting cold and you might be in an icy rain situation, stay the fuck off a bridge.
Now this
if
guy's
can.
Like, you fucking hit my car. Oh, my God. Look at this thing, man.
This is crazy. Look at this thing just sliding. What part of Oregon is this? Doesn't say.
Unreal.
Portland. That's Portland. Portland. Yeah. You bitches got to prepare for it. Okay? This is preposterous. Portland, Oregon. Frozen rain is what it is. You could see on those, like, on that fence, when you could see that shit that's sitting there that looks like snow. It's snow, but it's also a lot of frozen rain. It's like when it gets to be like 32, just 32, and it was just 33, 32, 34, 32, and you get that horrible fucking frozen rain.
Boom,
son.
Shit.
Yeah, fuck that noise.
He's still going, slideways.
When I was a kid, when I was in high school, me and my friend John Jewett, he was my sister's boyfriend, we were on the roof of the garage, me and him just sitting there drinking beer, watching cars slide into each other in our street.
The best.
Because people couldn't, I lived on a hill, and no one, you couldn't tell that it was total black ice. You couldn't tell.
Yeah.
So people were driving like normal,
you
know, and then it would just, woo! I lived across from a river, and like when it would start to freeze, like I would get it, you know, and you're close to the water, you know, I guess maybe it's colder.
Yeah.
I mean, if that makes any sense. But, the fucking entire street just was a giant hockey rink. So we called the cops, and the cops came down the hill, And the cops came down the hill, just bang, boom. But they came to investigate. Oh, we'll see. These guys don't know how to drive. That's the problem.
Yeah,
here.
Of course.
No, the whole thing was a hockey rink.
Yeah.
So they got in and just bounced off the curves.
This
bang!
Is in Mass?
Woo! Yeah. That's awesome. It was in Newton Upper Falls.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was horrible. Dude, I got to tell you, Diaz, first of all, he got stopped in 3 different airports by like 8 different people. This weekend.
Oh, by throngs of fans, you're saying?
Fans, TSA, were at the airport. And
did they want to check under his balls for weed?
He, first of all, my God, his tolerance, it's
stunning.
Dude, I took a quarter of a bite of an edible.
You're brave.
Quarter.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, the very end of it. And 30 minutes later, I was just out of my mind. I mean, my eyes weren't even open, okay? And I could tell people were looking at me like they're like,
yeah.
And you're like, oh, I'm not hiding this at all. Like, this is bad. And he ate, of that, he ate an entire one. Like, blah, blah, and then he's like saying ridiculous shit. Like, shit that I feel like I get arrested for thinking it. Like, I can't play it back in my head. I was like, dude, shut the fuck up.
What
man.
Was he saying?
I cannot. I really can't say the main thing that he was. I can't.
Why?
It's not okay to say.
Why is it not okay to
it's
say?
Just,
does it have to do with ethnic groups?
A lot of them, yeah. So many racial things that you can't say. But this one in particular is awful. I'll tell you, it's so awful. Like, I can't even spin it. I can't spin a joke.
But I have and this is one of the things that I've been on about lately. I have a real problem when people get upset at people that say shit that they don't really mean, but that it's awful,
yeah.
But hilarious.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
Because, like, look how hard we're laughing.
I was
I don't
in
even
tears.
Know.
Yeah.
Look at the picture, you guys.
Yeah.
I don't even know what he said. I don't even know what he said to you, and I'm already laughing.
It's so
just
crazy.
Thinking about all the shit he said to
oh,
me
yeah.
in the past.
Of course. Of course. Well, he's going off about this thing. I'm standing there. I look like I'm going to puke because I'm laughing so hard. Because this is in the airport, and he's around people. Like, there's,
right.
He has no
he
sense
give
of
a
like.
Fuck.
No, he's like, blah, blah, blah. Like, shut up, dude.
He doesn't give a fuck.
No, and I have tears. People looking by, and then he's like TSA, and this guy I look in the uniform looks right. over, and he's like, you got to look at this guy. And I'm like, dude, I'm all fucked up. Like, don't bring attention to me right now. And then that guy, he's like. Hey, Joey Diaz, I'm a big fan. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me right now? I turn around and walk away. I was like, I'm leaving.
You're too high for this.
Yeah, I walk away. I leave him. I'm like, I don't want any part of this shit. And I go, I buy a magazine that I leave at the counter. That's how high I am. I'm like, I want to get this magazine. And then I walk away from it. And I remember like 30 minutes later before we board, and I go back and it's sitting there, and I go, that's my magazine. And this lady's like, okay. And I go, I paid for it already. And she's like, okay. Like, go ahead and take that if you want. Like, so out of my mind. But then we walk by, we go, and a fucking pilot comes by. You know, they have, like, they always have that double luggage thing, right? They're one bag on top of the other.
Yes.
The pilot bag.
Yeah.
He fucking walks by us, and he's like, hey, Joey Diaz. And I'm like, are you serious right now? And he's like, this is my airport. Everybody knows me at this airport. I'm like, really?
This is my airport.
Yeah.
And Eugene,
then,
Oregon?
No, this was in Burbank. He's like,
oh,
I
Burbank.
Run the Burbank airport, dog. And I'm like, okay. We then get stopped we land in Sacramento, and people stop him for pictures. Then the baggage handler stops him, asks him like 100 questions. He's like, I hate these fucking questions. This guy's asking way too many questions. No. Okay, so we leave there.
Well, he's super high. Can't
of
be just
course.
Having conversations with people.
Then a family stops him. A lady with kids stops him for a picture. They all take a picture together. Like, it was nonstop. The best was that, oh, this is the best part. So I take the quarter bite, right? And I'm completely fucking out of my mind. He eats an entire one. We sit down on the plane, and he starts talking to me. I'm like, shut up, man. Shut the fuck up. I cannot listen to you right now. Because I'm like shaking. Like, I'm like, I got
it. So you told him to shut up because you're laughing too
yes,
hard?
Yes. Okay. I'm like, I can't hear you talk. Shut up. And he's like, he like looks around. He's like, anyways. And he opens up a second one, eats the second one. And of the thing I have a quarter bite of. So he's on 8 doses of what I'm on. And I'm like, oh. Jesus Christ. So we go through this flight, and every time he looks at me, Like I still, he goes, oh, and I'm like, dude, shut up.
You ever heard the Duncan story?
No.
He gives Duncan a cookie, and then he calls him an hour and a half later. And goes, welcome to my world, motherfucker.
Dude. We land, as we're landing, I was like, man, I go, dude, I was pretty fucked up, man. And he goes, and I look at him, because all I'm thinking is, like, I can't believe how much more advanced you are than me. You know, it's like, like, I cannot believe.
Oh, you mean tolerance-wise?
Yes. Like, it's like, I can't believe I ran a mile and you just ran 40 miles. Like, that's crazy to me. And we both finished at the same time. And then I go, so I'm amazed that he's not affected. I go, I can't believe how much that fucked me up. He goes, I almost had 3 panic attacks on that flight. I was like, yes. It made me so happy that he was also fucked up. And I was like,
but he doesn't care. He still goes right back in.
I go, I'm glad it's starting to wear off. He goes, not for me. I'm fucked up right now.
Yeah, his idea of going deep is so much deeper than your idea.
Yes.
He's breaking world records on a daily basis.
All the time.
He's at the bottom of the Marianas Trench with a shovel. And he's like, there's got to be a deeper spot. This is bullshit.
And the first thing he did as we get off that was like, let's smoke this joint. I was like, what are you talking about? What are you talking about, man? We're not smoking a joint. I can take a break.
He's a maniac.
There's no breaks.
He's a fucking maniac. Yeah, well, he just goes through the whole day like that, and that's where, you know, people would step in and say, well, that boy's got a problem.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. But he doesn't.
Yeah.
Because for a comedian, it might be the best way to live life.
Yeah.
Is scared on a regular basis, and in between, laughing your dick off. Scared, laughing your dick off. Scared, laughing your dick off.
Yeah, the funny thing is, like, even his regular cadence, it's out of the norm for other people.
Yeah.
That you see people react to him. It's more fun to even watch people like at the restaurant next to us react to him than it is almost to watch him. Like he's talking and I see them like, they're like, Jesus, like this is like a fucking, it's like you brought in a pit bull to have lunch here. You know what I mean? They've never seen somebody so intense and animated and saying these crazy things. It's like you watch them react to Joey.
Right. Yeah, I know what you mean, man. They don't come along that often.
No, it's a rare thing. They're like, well, who's this guy?
Yeah, you know guys, and you go, oh, I get it. That guy's like a little bit of this guy, a little bit of that guy. He's a combination of, Joey's just like, what is that? Where'd that come from?
You want to kill somebody, invite him over for dinner. What?
Oh, his logic, about how to get crimes committed correctly. Yeah. And then my favorite thing is he'll say something and go, you know what the fuck I'm saying. And then he just walks away.
Yeah.
Like he'll end on a strong point.
Uh-huh.
You want to kill somebody, you invite him over for dinner. Boom. He walks away.
Great sense of timing. Yeah. Amazing.
It's a stand-up timing that he uses like in everyday life.
In real life. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like he's never doing an act.
Yeah.
Because his act is his life and his life is his act.
Yeah.
The way he talks is his act.
Totally.
That's like the best you could ever hope for. The best you could ever hope for is like a merging
of you.
Of your ability to be you off stage and on stage.
Yeah, I mean, look at like who everybody, or a lot of people, let's say, is like, you know, a total master comedian, basically talks in his voice like Chappelle.
Yeah.
Walks up and is like, tells you about his day.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like the highest form, right, of being a comic, because you're like, this isn't even a thing. I'm just talking to you.
Yeah.
And like Diaz is like a version of that, where like he's just being Diaz.
Yeah, just being Diaz, but he also works at it. You know,
he works really hard.
He writes. He does a lot of sets. Joey does a lot of sets. He'll go up like 4 or 5 times a week in town at weird places. He'll travel to Oxnard and shit and do a set somewhere. He does a lot of like weird sets.
He does. Yeah,
he gets up a lot.
He was killing him, man. Killing him.
I'm sure he was, man.
Yeah.
What is Eugene, Oregon like besides hippie and they don't know how to plow?
We got to see so little of it because of the weather.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was a for real hotel gig hotel. There was no checking anything out.
Right.
But the people were awesome. I mean, I couldn't believe how fun. That was the most fun. That was the funnest show I've had. Like top 3 show of the year.
Wow.
That fun. And it was because of that weather. The only people that showed up were podcast listeners.
Right.
So they listened to Joey's podcast, they listened to mine, and they were just all fans. So it was like, it was like doing a, you know, like a special event kind of show.
Yeah, these audiences are so different now.
Oh my God.
They're like cunt free. Like you get like the amount of cunts that you get.
Yeah.
They're
it was
so
nothing
small.
But love. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just nice people.
Yeah. It was awesome. Awesome.
It's weird, isn't it?
Oh yeah. It's you can see it's changed so much. Like for me, it's changed so much in the last few years.
Yeah. It's changed Absolutely. For everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody. All of us.
Yeah, it's changed. And then the other thing that like we do now is we do our podcast live. And it's like a different type of live performance.
Right.
You know? It's so fun to go.
Yeah, you have a totally different thing going on. You guys have like a live show.
Yeah, it's like a show. You know, it's like an actual performance.
But your podcast fits that well because your podcast has a lot of like reoccurring sketches or
yeah.
skits.
Yeah.
Skits, you call them skits?
Segments almost,
Big
yeah. Yeah.
Bits?
It's, yeah.
Bits you do? You have a bunch of reoccurring things that you do that
yeah.
people look forward to.
They look forward to it. Yeah. So what we try to do on those live ones is like if we know they look forward to it, try to at least do a couple of them and it gets the crowd so excited about it. So it's
right.
like a fun thing. It's like it's almost like the equivalent of being a band and you have a couple hits. You know what I mean? Like
right,
where
right,
they
right.
you know they like that song. So I'm going to play the song at some point because I know that's why you showed up, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, it's pretty fun, man. It's changed everything though for our stand up too.
Yeah, it's weird, right?
It's so crazy. I mean,
it's weird that it all happened out of the internet, too. Everybody thought they had to get on TV. Everybody thought the way to get a fan base is to be on TV. But that's actually the way to get a fan base that doesn't really know you.
Exactly.
Like, if you're on a sitcom, like Mike and Molly, Billy Gardell, very funny guy. If
yeah.
you're going to go see him.
Great guy, too.
Very good guy.
Yeah.
Great guy, funny guy. You know, good for him. He's got a sitcom. It's great.
Yeah.
But if you want to go see him, you're going to see the funny guy that you see on that show, which
on
is
CBS.
Billy playing a character.
Yep.
It's not him doing stand-up. If you go to see him doing stand-up, you know, like, you know him in a form of what he does.
Right.
But you don't know him.
Right.
When they go to see you, they fucking know you.
Right.
I mean, you and I, the way we talk right now is the way we talk when we shut this thing off.
Right.
If we shut it off, it would be real similar.
Mm-hmm.
We'd be talking shit. You'd tell me what Joey actually said.
That's it.
That would be the only
That'd
difference.
That'd be the only difference.
That'd be the only difference in this conversation. And I think... it's the best way to get a good crowd or an asshole crowd. If you're an asshole and you promote asshole-ish behavior.
I've fucking seen it, man.
Have you seen it?
Absolutely.
With who?
I can't tell you who.
Does his name rhyme with?
No, but it's somebody I don't think you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I don't know that dude.
You don't know this guy,
yeah.
But I've seen cultivate.
Green hair, real tall.
Yeah. I've seen people cultivate those. And I've also, the other thing I've seen is people who have that problem you're talking about. And I say it as a problem is that they might be a certain way. Then they do this show that's not like them.
Mm-hmm.
And you draw a crowd who's like, I thought you were going to be this type of humor.
Right.
And that's the great thing about doing your it works out great. I'll tell you what works out great for is a guy like Tosh, where he does his style of jokes on Tosh.0. If you're not responding to what he's doing on that show, if you don't like that, you're not going to like his stand-up. But if you like that show and you like those jokes, you're going to love seeing Daniel Tosh live.
Yeah.
You know, it's the smartest way to promote his live stand-up is doing that show.
Yeah, it's
his
perfect
wheelhouse
advertisement.
Yeah, it's great.
It's fucking funny, too, man.
It's great.
God,
it's so
damn.
Funny.
He has some good writers on that show.
He does, yeah. He's a funny guy. He's a really funny guy.
He's a good guy, too, man. It's a really good guy. It's nice. It's nice when good guys make it.
Definitely.
You know?
Yeah.
Like Joey Diaz was talking about Kevin Hart, about what a great guy Kevin Hart is, because Joey's in that new movie with him. With Robert De Niro and Sylvester Stallone, whatever it is. They're like 80 and they're going to box. Do people understand bleeding? Do you understand like how hard it is to stop blood from, you know, pouring out of your fucking brain when you're 80 and you're getting punched in the head? Like the idea of that movie is more preposterous than Godzilla. the idea of that movie that you're gonna license
is the idea. Is it like former champs?
Former boxers, and they hate each other. They're gonna get together, do it one more time, and they're like 80.
Man.
This is like it's so irresponsible too, because you know what? When you're 80 and you take head injuries, you don't fucking recover from it.
Ever.
I mean, the suspension of disbelief involved in watching two old guys beat the fuck out of each
it's
other
so
on
funny.
TV. This nobody would pay for that. It would be sad. Like if you saw Larry Holmes today and Larry Holmes fought, you know, Bone Crusher Smith today. Yeah. I mean, it would really be sad to watch. And Larry is at least 15, maybe even 20 years younger than Stallone.
How hurt would these guys be, you think, during the fight? Would they just...
They'd both die. Well, Sylvester Stallone is juiced to the gills. Yeah. Okay, 72 years old.
He looks crazy.
Looks fantastic. Yeah. He would murder, I'm sure, murder De Niro, unless De Niro got on the sauce as well. De Niro would have to be on the sauce for at least a year. Maybe he is. I mean, so many men are on testosterone replacement now. Yeah. They have commercials for it on television.
Totally.
But I have a feeling that the levels that Sylvester Stallone takes are very high.
Yeah, like, he's got really low body fat, too. I mean,
like, have you seen a picture of him walking down Beverly Hills and you see the veins in his forearms?
No.
Dude.
I saw a still from this movie that looks crazy as shit.
We're sounding gay for Sylvester Stallone right
fine.
Now. Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Give me your flavor.
I met the guy. I had to interview him for Spike TV, and he couldn't be nicer.
Yeah.
Normal. Like, didn't give a fuck. He's been there, done that for so fucking long. That's the reason why he has, like, a sense of humor about himself now that maybe he didn't when he was younger. Like, he's very relaxed, man.
Yeah.
He's very, like, talking to him could not have been, like, easier and smoother. Like, when you're talking to, like, someone and you interview someone, a lot of the conversation depends on whether or not that person is relaxed, whether or not they're comfortable.
Yeah.
And if they're not comfortable, man, the conversation's going to suck. It's hard to do. With him, he's just at ease, laughing and joking and, you know, made some joke about his mother, his intelligence, and just, he was just funny, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Just relaxed.
Yeah, that's cool.
But you're not supposed to look like that when you're 70, son.
No.
That shit's ridiculous.
I heard De Niro's like the most notoriously difficult interview.
Well, he doesn't want to do it.
Right.
And he shouldn't. You know, I think a guy like that, he's earned the right to talk to whoever he wants to talk to, and that's it.
Yeah.
And if he doesn't want to be interviewed about things, I don't need to know him.
Right.
He can tell me about him what he wants to tell me about him. I don't need to know him. And I think the beauty of being an actor, there's probably some merit and some extra power in me not knowing him.
Right.
And knowing that he can go from being the guy in Taxi Driver to, you know, being, you know, fill in the blank, being the guy from The Godfather to,
yeah.
I mean, he can morph. He can change who he is. Being the guy from Cape Fear, he can morph. And I think if you know too much of what he is really like, could you imagine if, like, say if De Niro had a podcast? And on the podcast every day, he's got his glasses over his nose like that. Whoa, see what we got here. And he's reading things.
Yeah.
And he's giving you his opinions on things.
I like flowers.
When actors start doing that, it puts them in a weird category.
It's true. It's true. And it almost like the ideal way to be an actor would be to do no press.
Yeah.
Like they do press because they have to. You know, a lot of times they're contractually obligated to do press, to promote movies. And it's all about promoting. But it does, you know, the more you know that person, the harder it is to see them playing characters.
Yeah,
sure.
Absolutely. Yeah, things get weird. Like that was one of the things that people relished about that the audio that was leaked of Christian Bale screaming at some guy on the set.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are like, wow, he's a fucking asshole. He's an asshole. And yeah, he's definitely, obviously, very aggressive. But what people liked about that is they got to see a human, like, with no script, no, okay, I'm going to go sit on the couch with Oprah, no chatting here with David Letterman with my legs crossed like I would never do in real life.
Yeah.
There's none of that.
Yeah.
He's like, for fuck's sake, man, you're a fucking amateur.
Yeah.
Just screaming at some lighting guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's Sylvester Stallone at, like, 70.
Oh, my God.
That's not a joke either. He's, like, 70. How old is he?
67.
67. That's like 70. That's amazing.
Jesus.
Yeah. My grandpa didn't look like that when he was 67. Matter of fact, I think that's around when he died of old age. I think my grandpa died of old age around
67.
Around 70. But he didn't look like that.
No.
At all.
No. My grandpa stopped looking like that like 63, 64.
There's just something weird about that, man. The idea that you can have a movie where these two dudes who were in their late 60s punch each other in the head and their brains just are fine. Jesus. That was when he was young and sexy.
Do you?
That was the old days. Look at him.
I like it.
Look at that beautiful face. If Very unusual face. If I was a chick, I'd let him send it in.
Yeah? Just for that unusual?
Just for that face. Yeah. Just that 70s look with the fucking
teased
plaid
hair.
Jacket on, oof. The beautiful hair.
Those feathers. Yeah. Those are feathers, not even hair follicles.
Yeah, he's the canary in the coal mine for all men who don't want to get old. Like that's what you can look like.
You might be a workout animal at 67 too, huh?
I don't know. I don't know if I can keep it up. I don't know. You got to face the inevitability of your own demise at some point in time. Yeah. I would assume that you can keep up a certain amount, but our buddy Jimmy just had a fucking hip replacement. Mark Coleman, former UFC heavyweight champion, the first, actually, UFC heavyweight champion, just had a hip replacement.
The Hammer?
The Hammer. Hammer. Great guy.
A hip replacement?
Told me, yeah. He told me he was in fucking pain for a long time. He just couldn't do anything about it. It's like the amount of, like, work that you have to do to be like a high level amateur wrestler.
Yeah.
The amount of fucking beating that puts on your body, the amount of stress, the just the intensity of those workouts, and they're all tough as shit, so they all power through injuries all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of guys get, you know, really long term stuff. Like I know Coleman, he's had neck surgery as well. Tito has had at least two discs fused.
Jesus.
You know, Nate Quarry had at least two fused as well. He had like artificial disc put in his lower back. They create artificial discs now, and
yeah.
They screw them into the. It's a fucking tough business, man.
Now there's no question that like guys like that and professional athletes are obviously like really doing, you know, long term damage where they have a lot of these replacements.
Oh yeah,
but don't you find that even the amateur athlete that does certain sports for a long period of time, inevitably a percentage of them all need the same thing too. I mean, I have an uncle who was, you know, not a pro athlete, but a guy who played either racquetball, handball, tennis, like 6 days a week. Like one of those just guys who was really into it, devoted, you know, that was his whole pro. Dude, he's had two knees and a hip replaced.
Ooh,
and I know,
God.
I know other guys who are not, because he's like 72 now. But I know other guys in their 60s, like just like friends of parents and stuff. They're like, oh, I just had a knee surgery. And these are just guys who, you know, played sports. Like they were active people.
Right.
Didn't do anything like, you know, violent. Didn't do combat, contact sports. But they all have things, surgeries, you know, back, knee, hip. I feel like it's almost inevitable.
It's almost inevitable if you keep beating your body up, if you don't do the proper rehab, if you don't stretch, if you don't keep your joints mobile.
That's the focus,
there's,
right?
There's a lot of shit. A diet, you got to give your body the building blocks to repair tissue. You got to give that tissue time to repair.
Yeah.
A lot of injuries come, and this is from my personal experience, the injury that I had on my neck was from getting hurt and just continuing to work out, like knowing I was hurt and just gutting it out. Jiu-jitsu is so fun. It's so fun that you don't want to take too much time off. And when I would take like 2 weeks off, like I'd fuck something up in my neck, I'd take 2 weeks off. Like realistically, I needed several months off. Like I had an injury. And what I really needed to do was take several months off and rehab the area and make sure it's strong. But I would just hurt it again. A couple months later, pop, fuck, I'd hurt it again. And it just kept hurting it.
Yeah.
I kept doing it over and over again until I finally got an MRI after the worst one when I started getting numb fingers. And I found out that I had a bulging disc in my neck. But instead of getting surgery, instead of getting my neck cut open, I started doing what's called spinal decompression. I have this like thing that a harness I attach to my neck and I put it to a door and I like hang myself basically.
Really?
Yeah, I started doing that and a lot of stretching and then Rolfing. I started getting Rolfed, which is fucking really painful shit.
Super painful, right?
Then I started doing this stuff called pro-low-ozone therapy. Like I'm trying like really hard to make sure that this area is completely healed up before I do anything crazy again.
That's smart.
So then I did that. And then the most recent is this Regenikine. Regenikine is this shit that this guy, Dr. Peter Welling, developed in Germany. They take your blood out and they spin it and they heat up the blood and then it produces more red or more white blood cells and they spin it in a centrifuge and it makes this like yellow serum that's like one of the most potent anti-inflammatory drugs known to man. It's made by your own blood. I'm doing a terrible job of like explaining the science. I'm sure I butchered it, but whatever it is, they take this stuff, they take it out of your blood, then they inject it into where you have injuries or inflammation.
Mm-hmm.
And people feel like they haven't felt in 20 years. It's incredible. Like, he did it to my neck and only a month ago, like 5 weeks ago.
Inject back into your neck? Is that where it goes?
Yes. They put, like, in very specific areas where you have the inflammation, they inject that serum that's created from your blood into that area where you have the inflammation. And it heals it so quick, it's like you're in a movie.
Really?
Yeah. It's like they created some new invention to relieve yourself of inflammation.
But you're basically on, this is like cutting edge stuff, right?
I mean, it's pretty cutting edge. It's not even approved by the FDA. You have to pay for it.
Pay for it out of pocket.
Yeah. You have to pay for it out of pocket. In Germany, they let you do it, which is why all these athletes are flying to Germany. But now they're starting to set up places in America, and they do what's called, off-label, I think that's how they describe it, off-label, and which means like they can't guarantee anything, they can't tell you it's going to do anything for you, the FDA doesn't approve it, they can't say it's going to help you, but they can do the procedure, it's legal, if you want to get it done, here's all the people that have done it, and here's how it benefited them.
Wow.
It fucking works, dude. My neck feels amazing. It feels so loose. It was like, for the longest time, is this a video of them doing it? They pulled out 8 ounces of blood out of me today, son.
8 ounces?
Yeah. Lucky, wow. I'm very hot-blooded. I produce blood. Just sitting here, I'm producing a lot of blood. And they shoot it. See how they're doing it here? They put these little holes, and then they have this little thing that sticks in the hole, and they inject the serum directly into the areas where you have inflammation. And people who have had arthritis and all sorts of different issues, especially like lower back pain, they've experienced some pretty significant benefit from doing this stuff. And it lasts for years.
That's awesome.
Fascinating shit. But you know, these dudes that are in combat sports, whether it's MMA or even football, which is kind of like a combat sport. It's very similar.
Yeah.
You're going to get a beating no matter what you do.
Yeah.
No matter who you are.
Yeah.
Peyton Manning actually had this shit done. Had it done to his neck.
His neck was fucked up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably just like mine.
Yeah.
But now he's playing again.
It's crazy. He's playing so well. It's
because
stupid.
Of this shit, man.
Yeah.
It's because of this Regenikine. This is just step one. This motherfucker in Germany is a year away from developing a shot that makes your body kickstart its production of collagen, which means your wrinkles will go away.
Really?
Oh, ladies, gonna look hot as fuck.
Ooh, they're gonna write a check for that too.
Old ladies are gonna want some dicks, hon.
How many?
Could you imagine if your next door neighbor was like this old lady who was really hot at one point in time and lived for it, and then it all fell apart, and then she's by herself and alone, and she starts getting them shots, and then within like a year, she's like a hot MILF, a hot 40-year-old, and you're like, what the hell is going on?
Can I borrow some flour?
She's flirting with you. Yeah. You catch her out in the morning. She's doing exercises and she's jogging on the front lawn.
She's got new yoga pants.
My God. She can work out again. What the fuck is going on next door? This bitch is going back in time. She's eating babies. She must be eating babies. If you didn't know any better, you would think she's a witch.
Of course.
If all of a sudden, within a year, she looked like a hot 40-year-old.
Give me that baby.
I wonder if that's possible. It's got to be. They're going to do it. If you could send a video through the fucking sky instantaneously, you could take a video. You could send it to me from Canada, and I would get it within a couple of seconds.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. That's possible. Look at that. That's your neighbor, bro.
Yeah.
Hey, look at that. And you're like, Ice Cube. Ice Cube's all rapey there. Very rapey.
Damn! This fucker finer than a motherfucker. Damn. I knocked the dust off that pussy.
Yeah, just like that.
Just like that.
Yeah,
if that do I get to be lady. Tucker right there in that scenario?
No, you get to be Tommy Buns.
Okay,
I think you'd have a better response for that. Look at this dirty bitch.
What'd you say, honey? Huh? Nothing.
Yeah, that's what we would. That's what we'd be dealing with everywhere, all across the world.
Always, be a lot more fucking going on.
A lot more fucking. The old guys would become studs too. The old guys within a couple of years would start looking like Stallone does now.
You imagine like successful guys, like guys who
all
were
of a sudden,
real power brokers.
Rupert Murdoch becomes the Hulk.
Oh my God.
Literally looks like the Hulk.
And just dropping dick internationally every
comes
day.
To the door with a custom suit on because his neck is 37 inches wide. His head's enormous and square. And this is Rupert Murdoch becomes like literally like Juggernaut.
Yeah.
He becomes the Hulk.
Be amazing. What'd you do?
If someone came along and they did have some sort of a genetic fix, like, and especially if you're an old man, if you're like 80 years old, and they say to you, well, we can give you this shot, they'll turn you into this shape. You will morph. You're going to eat all day long because you're going to be hungry constantly. But if you give yourself the required amount of calories to grow, you're going to be this in like a couple months. You just fucking keep growing.
Old guys be all over it, man. No question.
Your dick
becomes
like a Quaker Oats box. just one of those big, extra thick Quaker Oats boxes.
I think, you know what? You'd be so charged up and so sexually recharged, you'd just be leaking jizz all day.
Everywhere.
Like you'd have to put a little, like a little receiver, a little receptacle at the end of your cock.
You'd have to tie a very sturdy balloon on the end of your dick.
Absolutely.
Tape it down. Otherwise, you'd just be shooting loads in your pants all day.
And you just go, you just literally have to drop them.
I think that shit's inevitable. They're doing things right now that are the building blocks of creating superheroes. Like, they have this this project where they're trying to combine spider silk with human skin. They're trying to make this synthetic skin that would be like a replacement skin.
Like burn people? Burn
yeah,
victims?
Like burn victims and, you know, and maybe people who just really wanted to redo their whole body one day.
Really?
Look, man, they're replacing hips. Okay? What is a hip? A hip is a joint. They saw your fucking joint off. When you see a hip replacement, it's some dark shit. Mm-hmm. Have you ever watched it online?
No, no.
Let's do it.
No.
Let's watch a hip replacement. It's rough. They saw the end of your femur off, son, and they screw this fucking bolt in place. It's gnarly.
All that shit, surgery is gnarly.
Surgery is gnarly, but replacements of joints, especially
hips. Have you seen
hips,
a facelift?
Oh, yeah, that's gnarly.
Or a nose job?
Oh, that's gnarly.
I
didn't see what my nose looked like, but you saw some of the bloody boogers after I had my nose fixed.
I saw you.
I showed you those? You almost threw up.
Dude,
I showed
you one of the boogers. When you were putting that water pick up your nose?
Yeah.
And it was flushing stuff out?
Yeah, let's, maybe we shouldn't watch this. It looks like a ham. Ooh. Man. They open you up, and then they cut off the end of your leg and then attach this artificial joint. Who was the first guy to make a fucking artificial hip? Because that guy took a goddamn chance.
He really did.
All right, we're going in. I mean, how many people?
How much did his hip suck where he was like, cut my fucking leg off? Like,
yeah, the first guy.
Yeah.
Well, my friend who had it done in New York, according to our friend Brian Callen, he was walking so bad, like one leg would bend, and the other leg, he would just sort of swing.
Oh, my God.
He would swing it over. He would keep it attached to his body and, like, sort of swing his body sideways, and that's how he'd move forward. He didn't use his hip.
Was this a fighter guy?
No. He just played basketball on concrete in New York City.
Yeah.
He played a lot of basketball, and he was, like, 50 now.
Yeah.
His leg fell apart.
See, there's another one. Like, have you seen, like, the way some of these old basketball players walk?
Mm.
Holy shit.
But they're really big, too.
They're monsters. Yeah.
You think, when you're talking about a 7-foot human, the amount of, like, torque that goes on to all these different joints, the ankles and the knees and the hips, there's so much pressure because you're dealing with this extremely long lever.
Yeah.
It's one of the reasons why, like, long-legged and long-armed guys punch so hard. It's also one of the reasons why they're so good at submissions. They have, like, extra leverage. Because their limbs are literally longer.
Yeah.
They have more a better fulcrum.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But it also puts tremendous pressure on your joints because of that.
Have you ever seen Phil Jackson walk,
like,
in recent years?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a player for a lot of years. His walk is the most, like, you see the pain. When you watch it, you're like, that guy's walking in pain.
Well, when I was a kid, I worked at the Boston Athletic Club, which is a health club in South Boston. Nice place, and people would come in there and play racquetball a lot. And Bobby Orr used to come in there all the time.
Oh, yeah.
One of the greatest hockey players of all time.
All time.
And when I was there, I was about 19, and I don't know how old Bobby was. He was probably about my age now. I'm 46. And he couldn't walk, man.
Really?
Oh, man. I mean, not only could he not walk, his sides of his legs were cut open like fish. Like, the scars that they put on his legs, like... He's probably older than me. He's probably now that I think about it, he was probably older than me then. I bet he was probably in his 50s. But the old way of doing it, they would just open you up like a fish, and then they would take chunks of your leg, like your hamstring, and screw them in place and try to replace ligaments with them. And they would last for a little while, and then they'd blow out. So they'd have to fucking stitch you up again. And Bobby Orr had something insane, like 17 surgeries.
Oh, my God.
So when he walked, man, he literally couldn't bend his knees.
Yeah.
So he would, like, kind of hop and move his leg forward and put it down and lift up and move his leg forward and put it down. And there was a machine called a VersaClimber. A VersaClimber. You ever seen one of those things?
Uh-huh.
Great cardio machine. Yeah. Get on there and fucking go crazy with this thing. He couldn't get on it. We used to have to help him on it. We used to have to help him lift his leg up. And when you looked at him, if you looked at his face, looked like a real healthy guy. He wasn't out of shape. He wasn't, you know, overweight. His legs were gone.
Hockey's so fucking brutal, though.
Think about it. You're sliding around, and you're on ice.
Yeah.
Knees are going every fucking which way.
Yeah.
You know?
And there's a beast coming at you like 40 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah. And once your knees go, you know, they're going to keep going.
Yeah. I know that Ditka hasn't been able to, like, walk normal for so long.
Wow.
And he's, you know, he's probably like 70 or something now, but he hasn't been walking normal in 15 years plus. You know, because those guys like Bobby Orr, Mike Ditka played, you know, so long ago that they would just, they really didn't do the most important thing when you're hurt, which is like take time off.
Mm-hmm.
It was like.
Nobody did back then.
Yeah, fucking play.
Yeah, you know, and obviously that's especially relevant when it comes to concussions.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're really just starting to kind of get a grasp on that within the last 10 years of like what kind of regulations they should
have. You just
have.
Played, for sure.
Especially high school, if you were college, everywhere.
Absolutely, absolutely. Like,
toughen up, pussy.
Toughen up, yeah. And they were doing, and it was so not about being tough. Those guys, so many of those guys, should have been not having any contact for weeks or months.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know, and they were just rocking their brain for week after week, probably multiple concussions in the same week.
Yeah, man.
Crazy.
And all these guys that keep dying and shooting themselves in the heart so that people can examine their brain. Just that alone, it's like. God, that's so dark.
Yeah. Early onset Alzheimer's, dementia, and they're like 45, 50.
Yeah. I think they're very close to being able to figure out how to regenerate human tissue. I think they're going to be able to turn back the clock.
Yeah.
I think within 100 years, it's going to be. I mean, you and I might not see it, mm-hmm. but I think they're very close to being able to literally create superheroes. If you think about like, what people have accomplished in such a short amount of time and what they can do now as far as like gene therapy and using stem cells to heal things. Like Bas Rutten went down to another country to get a stem cell treatment, some South American country, mm-hmm. and got some stem cell treatment because he's had like significant atrophy of his arm because of a pinched nerve in his neck. He had like some serious neck injuries from fighting a little bit, but really from stunt work that he did after fighting.
Really?
Fell on his neck, fucked himself up bad. Then he got his neck fused. His discs were bad, so they cut his discs out and fused his neck. And there was a lot of problems with it. So he went and got this stem cell thing, and then all of a sudden he's feeling fucking fantastic. He's talking about how great he feels.
Really?
Yeah, feels great. He's talking about his body's growing. He's been doing all this exercise again for the first time, like really intense exercise, and he's like not fitting into his suits anymore. He's going to change the collars and the suits because he can work out again.
Wow.
Yeah.
You have to imagine that like if they master that, all that genetic stuff, that one of those mad scientists is going to be like, let's build the best fighter ever. Let's build the best basketball player ever, like genetically make somebody like that. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And people will abuse that for sure.
People are going to do it for their kids.
Of course.
Their kids are going to be superheroes.
Yeah.
It's going to be weird, man. I'm telling you, we're probably 100 years away from a time where genetic improvements are like cell phones. Everybody has it. We just have it. It'll be real expensive at first, and only the elite will be able to afford it.
And then,
but then as time goes on, it'll be more and more common and prevalent, just like a cell phone.
And then you got to wonder, what will be the common problem associated with doing it? Because there's always a hang-up to something like that, you know?
Well, there's probably going to be people that try to almost die and then bring themselves back and think it's funny, and they'll do it on YouTube.
Right.
You know, they'll have friends shoot them with, like, 50-millimeter guns.
Jesus.
And then they'll...
Regenerate.
How
awesome was that?
Know, fucking shrink back up and heal, just like Wolverine.
We're
going to have a lot of problems when it comes to technology in the next 100 years or so. And the real problem is, will it ever get to a point where the amount of power that people have doesn't measure up with the amount of responsibility they have and the amount of, like, respect they have for that power? It's kind of where we're at right now when it comes to being able to contact people on YouTube. Like, if you find someone puts a video up expressing their opinion, and you're like, you fucking ugly cunt, I want to eat you alive. And people that say crazy shit like that on YouTube, like, they shouldn't have the ability to just communicate with people like that.
Yeah.
They shouldn't have the ability to just, they're abusing an incredible power. The ability to just instantaneously communicate with someone anonymously.
Well, that's the thing. It's, you should be able to do it with accountability.
But even with accountability, like what kind of accountability? If I can't see you and you, no one's looking at you and no one's going, man, you're a piece of shit. You know, if you say something to someone in person, like the way people say something on YouTube, like say if you're in the lobby of a hotel and you see some guy just say some fucking horrible thing to another guy there, you would go like, whoa, that guy's an asshole.
Yep. Yeah,
but if that happens to you online, if some guy just sends you something horrible online, you don't see him, and I don't see him, and nobody knows who this guy is, and he's XP49K on YouTube or whatever his YouTube handle is. He doesn't feel that.
Yeah,
he doesn't feel the repercussions of that. You know, it's almost like you have this incredible ability, but you don't have any responsibility that comes along with it. You don't have any ethics that go along with it because you don't respect it. You didn't develop it yourself. You just got online. You know, it's like it's so easy to just get online.
Yeah.
You know, you don't even have to have your own computer. Can I use your computer? You get online. I'm going to make an account. Fuck you. You can do anything you want. That access is so common that people who don't, you know, they probably are too stupid for anything that powerful. That's the same argument about guns. That's the same argument about a lot of different things.
The dangerous thing is those people are also unhappy, right? And that's why they're doing it. So if you're that unhappy, but now your power is genetic mutation, you know, it's a little different than saying, go fuck yourself.
Well, you know what it is, ultimately, all of that. And I'm not saying that it's not the people's responsibility who do it, but ultimately, all shit behavior is a real result. One of the real results of it is the fact that we don't address that as a culture as being a major issue. Mm-hmm. That we don't address it as a culture, that we don't have it reinforced in the kids' heads at an early age, that the way to get by in life is to be as nice to as many people as possible. And a lot of times when you have bad feelings and you feel bad or there's anger or jealousy, oftentimes this can be because you need to fix your own life, mm-hmm. oftentimes. And you need to get your own life in order where you don't feel jealous about someone or you don't feel anger for something that someone has that you want. Like, use it as fuel to fix your life. Nobody teaches you that. Nobody tells you that in school. It never gets brought up. And then we also never deal with poor people as if they're just people that are a part of our community that have a way worse position in life than we do. And we need to fix that because it's the lowest rung of the chain. What is it? What did we just call it?
Yeah.
Ring of the chain?
Rung.
But rung sounds like a ladder, like rung of a ladder. Rung of a chain?
Oh.
Link. Link of a chain. But the lowest, okay, rung of the ladder. That, you know, that's us. That's us. Just because we don't talk to them, it's still us. Don't they live like a mile from us? Well, then it's us.
Yeah.
But we ignore them. It's easier to ignore them. But as a society, that should be like one of the first things that a government takes care of.
Extreme poverty.
Extreme poverty and children growing up in extreme poverty.
Yeah.
That's the big one. Not just extreme poverty if you're a fucking guy and you're 35 years old, you decide you just love meth. And you're just going to meth it up and fucking... But that's your decision. If you went from being a lawyer to being a meth head... I mean, I'm not saying it's not in part based on how fucked up your childhood was. It probably was, but you might be too far to fix. But a kid?
Yeah.
You can fix kids, man.
Yeah.
Catch them early.
And it's so bad for everyone when you have that level of poverty.
Because you have resentment.
Yeah, of course.
A lot of crime is resentment. It's not just need. It's resentment and need together.
You have everything. I have nothing.
And no morals because everybody around you is doing whatever they have to do to get by. You're just dealing in an environment where you're dealing with a lot of people in and out of jail.
Yeah.
So depressing, and you don't see any examples of how to get out.
And there's so many people, too. Like, people always presume, a lot of people in the United States presume that extreme poverty is, you know, the favelas in Brazil, which it is, but they don't realize that there is extreme poverty in this country. And
extreme poverty in Los Angeles.
Sure.
And you can go to
areas. The number one economy in the world. We have a lot of extreme poverty.
Yeah. And I don't know. I mean, look, I'm not saying that people don't have to pull themselves up by their bootstraps, that people don't have to work hard in order to be successful. They do. Absolutely. But you can't tell me that, like, me growing up in Newton Upper Falls and some poor fucking kid who is growing up in the worst area of Compton and his mom's a crackhead and his dad is non-existent and everyone he knows is in and out of jail and they have guns everywhere, and people die around him all the time.
Sure.
That's a reality that we don't have to deal with, that I never had to deal with. But there's people growing up in that reality that if they had options of something to look forward to, it could enhance how they develop.
Yeah.
They don't think about that. It's the weirdest thing. It's the weirdest thing about, like, the money that gets dedicated in this society, like where it goes. The fact that we put so much fucking money into war and so little money into making sure that we have a good supply of people who are bad motherfuckers, people who can get their shit together, people who can contribute to society, people who are contributors.
The other thing is the percentage of people who make up the portion of income. Like, you have so many, so few ultra rich that make up such a huge amount of the income. So you have basically, you know, this 5%, you know, people always talk about the top two or whatever.
One percenters.
The one percenters. But, like, you know, you have like 5% in the United States that might make up 30-some percent of all the income and hold an even bigger percentage of the wealth. You have a very small percentage of people controlling a whole hell of a lot of money. That's why it's at least on some level, it's good that like the Gates started that giving pledge where they basically try to get the world's billionaires to sign up to give away 95% of their net worth by the time they die. So people that are worth $5, 10, and $20 billion will at least not hold on to that. They'll give it away.
Yeah, because the thing about growing up in that environment, if you grow up and your dad has $100 billion.
Uh-huh.
What?
Yeah, I mean,
what? Yeah. So you just get a trust and you don't ever have to work ever. You ever met those guys?
Sure.
Those are some sad motherfuckers.
They always are.
They're some sad motherfuckers. I knew this dude. He had a trust and then a backup trust, and he went through both of them, and now he has a job.
Yeah.
He spent millions.
I believe
it. $30-something million on real estate development that didn't go through. And then he had a backup trust, and that went away too. And then his parents finally they said, get a job, bitch. And he's like 50. And he's like finally in like the workforce at 50. They cut him loose after just 50. Going through all of his buddies. He's the weakest man, like I think one of the weakest men I've ever been around.
Not surprising
just
at all.
He says no character, no ability to. And he even said it. He was talking to my friend about her kids. And he said, if I could give any piece of advice on what not to do, never let them think that they don't have to work.
Yeah.
Never let them think they don't have to work.
You're a lottery winner.
Yeah.
That's the only difference is you won your lottery the moment you were born.
But isn't it possible to win the lottery and keep it together?
What percentage? Very rare. It's very rare. It's possible. And I'm sure there's people who have done it. But there's more stories about how this guy fucking fucked everything up as soon as he won the lottery than there are, wow, this guy, you know, lived a fairy tale life after he won the lottery. I think some of it has to do with the amount you win. You know, you can win a lottery. You can win $1 million. You can win $2, $5, $6 million. When you start talking about somebody that was making $35,000 a year in the factory and you get $100, $200, $300 million, I mean, there's nothing to prepare you for that. There's nothing to prepare you for that. And the type of attention you're going to get from that, the people that are going to come into your life, it's overwhelming.
Wow.
They're not ready for it. It'd be different if, like, you won $100 million because you've achieved success on your own. You know, it's still going to be a difference for you. But I think having a foundation of, like, a career that you've taken on and earned your own, you know, you earn what you've gotten, to have this boost would be different. I think when you haven't had that level of success and you get something like, you know, a nine-figure check, I think it's really hard to keep it together. There's more stories about disaster than there are about keeping it together when you talk about those big, the what are the big ones called? They're like
Mega Millions.
The Mega Millions.
Powerball,
right? Yeah. Dude, somebody just won a nut like over three.
Yeah.
355 million.
It's so much fun.
Now, what
money
do they pay them off? They're like, you have options. You can get
the
like
option
a monthly.
Is, here's the option.
Yearly.
If you are not 80, you should always take. No, the opposite.
Oh, the 20-year?
The 20-year, because you're essentially on salary. for the next 20, 25 years. So if you want $100 million, right, you're going to get 20 payments over the course of that to add up to that amount. You're going to have to pay taxes, but you're going to get your full amount. The other option they do is they go, all right, it's $355 million. You could take that over 25 years, or we'll give you like $158 million right now. And then people go, I'll take the lumps. It's more, you know, they want all the money then.
Right.
But unless you're about to die, like, why wouldn't you just allow yourself to earn? Like, what's.
Well, maybe you would be worried that they would go under and wouldn't continue to pay you.
Yeah, I guess that is probably the worry. That's not going to fucking happen.
But what you really trust that someone's going to stay alive or a business is going to stay alive for 25 years or whatever it is?
They would still be obligated to make that payment. What I'm saying
by
is like.
Who? If they go under.
The state lottery? I don't.
State goes under. What if you did it in Detroit? What if you bought the lottery in Detroit?
I still think that.
We ain't got no money.
I still think you'd still get your money.
You think so?
I do. I don't think there's such thing as them not paying you out on that.
I'd say take that money.
You take that lump sum?
Invest it in a good business, Tommy Buns.
I think if it's
a family restaurant.
Money, I would definitely do the 25-year payout.
Well, how much do you think you would get? Okay, let's see. If you win the lottery and you get $350 million.
Right.
So what's the yearly payout on $355 million?
I would say they would probably do it over 25 years right now. So let's see. Let's say you're getting 355 over 25 years. That's $14 million a year, man.
What if you want to buy something that's more than 14 million?
The thing is, you can get whatever you want. Once they like you have that, they know who you are and they see what you, like there's no way. And like what the fuck are your plans, man? Are you opening the new St. Regis? Like why you don't need you were doing your shit for whatever, 50 grand a year, you're fine. You have 14 million a year for the next quarter century.
So you got to change your phone number and move immediately.
Oh my God, you have
to
leave.
The amount of people that are going to hit you up. Just give me a million. You can just give me a million, you still have all that money.
All the time.
Come on, dude.
Friends, family.
You're getting them 14 million a year. You can't give me a million a year.
And you have to say
no.
Can
you imagine?
Oh, it's got
to
be.
People are going to ask you to give them $1 million a year. Dude, you get 14 million a year. Give me 1 million a year. Come on, man.
And you'd have to be like, you know what? That's a really good argument, but I'm going to have to say no. Like, you
what
make a
you
good
do?
Point.
What would you do if Matt Fultron, one of your good friends,
please?
Said, Tommy, you won $300 million. You can't give me a million a year?
I love you, Matt.
But nothing? You give him nothing?
No, I probably would give. Yeah, I would. But I don't think you could let people dictate the terms and how much. You have to give whatever you want to give. You know?
Yeah. It's weird
like
when someone starts asking you for
Matt's
money.
Matt's a good friend. I want to give him a weird number. You know,
what would you give him?
138,216. Yeah,
thousand.
Yeah,
but that's it. You make 300 million. He gets give you $100,000.
All right. Well, I mean, Christmas is coming up. I might give you a bonus.
Would you start a business?
That much money, I think.
Why would you? What do you need? To
yeah,
make
what
more?
Do you make more money?
Why would you start a business so you could lose some of it?
No, I think the first thing I would do is move. Like to the area, like the exact whatever area, neighborhood, home I desire the most.
That would where would that be?
I don't know. Maybe Hawaii.
Hawaii.
Maybe
but then you'd have to travel to see your friends. The problem with Hawaii is it's 5 hours away by plane.
I know, but I got the jet now. Just hop on the jet.
It takes 5 hours in a plane. If you live 5 hours drive from somewhere,
what's 5 hours?
How annoying would that be?
I know, but I mean. Come on, man. I'm setting my jet. Are you going to be a real... It's a really nice jet.
Okay. How about this? How about I live in the mountains, 5 hours drive up the top of a mountain? How often are you going to visit me?
But can't I have a second home in Hawaii?
Yes. You could have a second home in Hawaii. But where are you going to live?
Primary residence. That's a good question.
Would
I
you
mean,
give up on Hollywood? I mean, there's
I think
no
the motivation,
need to be here anymore.
Well, yeah. I mean, but I mean, because you can do stand-up from anywhere if I still like doing stand-up.
You wouldn't need their fucking whore money.
Yeah.
They're goddamn devil.
Do whatever
money.
I want. That's a great. Actual. It's just where do you want to live the most?
Yeah. Where would it be?
I still love California.
Mm.
Maybe either somewhere beach. I like the beaches, so maybe
Santa Barbara's nice.
Santa Barbara, maybe Laguna.
More relaxed, less people.
Beachfront Laguna Beach kind of thing. Newport, that area.
Yeah.
That's kind of nice. It's
that
not
is
that
nice.
Far. Santa Barbara's beautiful. But then I also love other. I mean. Fuck, I mean, if you have $350 million, you probably buy, you know, your houses wherever you want. Buy a house in Seattle,
yeah,
New York,
like, where
Miami.
Would be where you decide to live?
Definitely.
California.
Yeah.
Look at you. You love California.
I love California.
You do. You represent.
Yeah, I do.
You wear like an L.A. hat.
Fucking hardcore,
people
man.
Know you represent.
Yeah. It's fun. I love it out
you
here.
You defend it.
What? People live in shitty places, and they have the nerve to shit on where we live. It's unbelievable. You do these fucking dog shit towns, and they're like, you live in L.A., I'd never want to go there. I'm like, clearly you have shit taste. I'm here because they're paying me. I can't wait to get the fuck out. So you stay, man. Stay here. We don't need you at all.
Well, people's ideas of California being bad are
they've never visited half the time. They're it's their idea of what California is.
Well, then it's all Kanye West out here. It's like 100 million Kanye Wests. Yeah. Everybody's yelling, and I'm the greatest ever. And
Christina has the best story of it was a baggage handler at the airport in Detroit, and he's putting the bag tag on her bag, and it says LAX. He's like, you live in LA? And she's like, yeah. He's like, I don't want any part of that shit. She's like, you're putting tags on bags in Detroit. You don't want to check out LA? Like, what the fuck is your problem? And he's like, well, all that celebrity shit. That's the other thing, is they go, the city is red carpet. Like, they think that it's like, and they think that because you live in LA, let's say, and you're not a celebrity, they're like, you must be obsessed with celebrity culture.
Yeah.
That's the perception. Like, oh, you're out there chasing celebrities. Like, what are you talking about, man?
Yeah, I've heard guys also say ridiculous shit. Like, you know, you couldn't ever meet a girl out here, man, because girls just want to meet famous dudes in L.A. Like,
yeah.
How many famous people do you think there are?
Yeah.
Like, just regular guys get laid, too, out here.
Oh, for like, sure.
What are you talking about? Like, what's this based on? What studies did you
The funny perform? Thing, too, is for people that don't live here, even, like, whether you're a performer, whether you're working any type of the entertainment business at all, for the most part, when you're in L.A. and people spot celebrities, nobody gives a shit. It's the opposite of outside of L.A. Like, people see celebrities. At most that I've ever seen is people are like, how's it going, man? Big fan. Like, nobody.
Yeah.
People mind their business in L.A.
It's a big difference between that and a place where they don't get to see someone who's on TV on a regular basis. Yeah, it becomes passe out here. Like, oh, there's that guy.
Yeah.
Which is probably better, you know?
Sure.
Definitely better.
Yeah.
You stand out less.
And I totally feel like the cliche weather conversation that we all have is, you know, and people are like, it's overdone. It's underdone. It's not spoken about enough. Weather is everything. Don't act like having great weather isn't one of the greatest perks of where you live or the worst part of where you live. We're talking about that, like, everybody talk. Yeah, it's because it's fucking awesome here. It's amazing, and it's amazing about 96% of the time. And we're gonna act like that doesn't play a huge part in why this place is great. Of course it is, man.
It does, but I gotta be honest. I like it when it rains here because it rains so rarely. I like that it mixes up.
It's fun, of course. You like the change, but the fact that like there are people suffering for not a day or a week. Months and months of the year, and you have the fucking top down in your car, like it's not really something you can ignore. It's pretty fantastic.
And it's sunny.
Sunny, beautiful.
It's not just nice out, like temperature wise.
Yeah.
Like you get sun and you feel it and it feels good.
Oh, yeah. And there's the ocean with a fucking sailboat going by. What a nice day it is today. Okay. Yeah, it sucks here.
Everything sucks. I think for a lot of people that say LA sucks, there's a bunch of factors. The traffic is a big one. The fakeness, fake communication that you get here, the fake people. You get a lot of fake shit here. As opposed to like what you get on the East Coast, you get more authenticity, I think, in places where people have to deal with weather and people don't deal as much with actors.
Yeah.
It's one of the downsides of this area. But it's not enough of a downside that it makes it suck.
Right.
The traffic is enough that makes it suck.
But can I say one thing about traffic? Traffic here is terrible.
Yeah.
New York City, Washington, D.C., Atlanta, Miami, Houston, all these cities have absolutely disastrous rush hours and traffic.
Yeah.
All the fucking time.
Yep.
If you want to live in a big metropolitan area, it's just one of the things that comes with it.
Yeah, if you want to try to drive from Long Island into Manhattan.
Oh, my God.
You want to try to do it in the morning, get to work.
Good luck, dude.
Good luck.
Yeah. Get up
at
3.
I did that once, and I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe the line. I was like, I was staying in Long Island and driving into New York for something. It was a while ago.
Yeah.
And I remember being on the highway going, if I had to do this every day, I'd probably go fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Because it was hours. And it's because of the fucking toll, too. That's another level of bullshit that you have to deal with in New York that you don't have to deal with here. Yeah. Everywhere you go, it fucking costs you money.
Yeah.
Everywhere. Every fucking bridge, the turnpike. Turnpike, like, you got to stop all the time. You stop and you got to pay.
Aren't those fees now, like,
ridiculous.
Real money?
Yeah. $14.
That's, I mean,
shit
that's,
like that.
That's not cheap, man, to drive over a bridge.
Yeah, fuck you.
Back and forth.
A bridge that was paid for a long-ass time ago, too.
Yeah, that's pretty nuts, man. And
God
then,
damn it.
But so I will say this, my favorite part of the country is, like, people-wise, is definitely the Midwest. I love people in Wisconsin, Minnesota, Ohio. And I love those people. I think they're really authentic.
They're nice people. Yeah. The salt of the earth. And I think that's also because they don't have to deal with show business. They don't have to deal with show business. They have less stress because there's not as much traffic. And they have character because they have to deal with fucking cunty weather all the time.
Mm-hmm.
There's
There's
something about being happy and, you know, dealing with a little bit of struggle. I don't think you can get there. Like, I think growing up in California is like winning the lottery. I think what you're dealing with is like an earned respect for the weather here because you're from Cincinnati and you live in Florida.
Yeah.
You lived in a bunch of places where it sucks.
Right.
And then you come here and you're like, oh, wait a minute. What are you talking about? This place is perfect.
Yeah.
But one of the reasons why you're interesting is because you didn't grow up here.
Oh, right.
So it's great to come here once you're a developed human.
I agree. And I do think the other thing, too, about the reason I get defensive about, like, you know, California, Southern California, is the amount of people who go out of their way to tell you that they, like, we weren't even talking about that, dude.
Well, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, did I ask you? Yeah. They're like,
they think it's all the Kardashians.
Yeah, I know. It's just fucking
the whole city is keeping up with the Kardashians.
Please. Out of their minds.
There's a lot of people here, man. A lot of good people, though.
This
giant number. You know, when you think about 20 million plus Mexicans, what does that really boil out to? Do they know? Do they even have any idea how many illegal aliens are here?
I don't think we have a real idea. I mean,
how could they? They're illegal aliens.
Yeah.
It's like trying to, like, figure out how many deer are in a patch of land.
Our state has about 40 million people. That's pretty crazy.
And how many of those people do you think are illegal Mexicans?
Probably around 15.
Do you know how fucked that is, man, that those people can never go to college, can never get a driver's license, can never vote, can never... But they live here. But they're basically American. We're pretending they're not American. Like, you're not really American. No. You didn't do it right. You didn't do it the way we say you got to do it.
Yeah.
But they've been here for 20, 30 years.
But don't they can actually go and get a driver's license, right? Can't you just go in and get that without even
proper
paperwork?
I think the Terminator stopped that shit.
Really?
I think they were going to do that, but I think he stepped in.
That'll be the next.
California can unfold.
Even though it's already, you know, part of the conversation, that'll be the next huge thing is going to be immigration reform.
Well, you know, you're not going to stop people from driving.
No.
By telling them they can't have a driver's license, you're just going to create a bunch of illegal drivers.
Yeah.
They're grown adults. If they have a job and they save up some money, they get a car by hook or by crook, they figure out how to get it on the road, and then they drive around because this is what they got to do. And when you arrest them and you take their car away, you're just stealing from them. What you really should do is figure out a way to make them be a paying part of the culture.
Right.
The other problem is the big thing that people don't talk about with illegal aliens is they're not paying taxes. Because if you're getting paid in cash and you're thinking about that, what are the odds that people that are getting paid in cash are paying the proper amount?
Oh, please.
You know, if you catch some guy and he's a day worker, right? He's working on construction sites and they're paying him cash.
Yeah.
That guy's not going to report any of that income.
Ever.
Why would he?
Yeah.
And you know, you say, well, hey, he shouldn't have to pay taxes. He doesn't make much money in the first place. Well, if that's our attitude, then we better go to those fucking people working at McDonald's because they're getting robbed.
Yeah.
Someone's taken from their paycheck.
Yeah.
They have to give to Social Security. Everybody does.
Now, there's many billions unaccounted for.
Unaccounted for that would be. And I'm not saying that it shouldn't be at least difficult to become a citizen. I think you should speak a little bit of English, at least a little bit.
Make an effort.
You should have no violent criminal history, you know, and whatever other crimes you've done, it should be really decided whether or not we want to include you in our culture. And if they're not included in our culture, we get rid of them. This weird thing we do where we just sort of tolerate them, you know, we should let them be Americans. Every American is a goddamn immigrant.
Yeah.
You know, every one of them.
Oh, I know. I mean, the balls to be like... Well,
but that's what we are. We're a nation of immigrants.
Yeah, that's the whole country.
This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's really taking advantage of the fact that these poor people, you know, they're going to be here whether we like it or not. So let's just, you know.
You got to find a way to make it work. I mean, the worst part of that whole thing is when you have people who came here illegally, had kids here who are now American citizens, and we're going to ship the parents out.
Yeah.
I mean, that's crazy. Imagine, like, doing that to your kids. Like, how awful.
It's awful. And for the longest time, the kids weren't able to go to college. The kids, if they were born in another country, like if a kid was a baby in another country and the mother said, you know what, I need to raise my son in America. This is too dangerous where I live. I'm going to take a chance. I'm going to get in a fucking a cargo car and hide and make it to California. And they do it. They get through all that. Their kid grows up in America. Their kid, and then the kid can't go to college.
Because he's illegal.
Now they can. But for the longest time, that was the dilemma of the children of illegal immigrants who were born in another country that were smuggled over here for their own future, for their own safety. And people that are concerned enough about their kid's future, they're willing to risk their own life to bring them to another country. I mean, it's a huge commitment. And it's a political pawn is what it becomes. It becomes this political pawn where people are looking at it, and if you're on the right, then you support tough immigration and, you know, strengthen our borders and stop the flow of illegal immigration into this country. And if you're soft and you're one of those bleeding heart liberals, then you decide, well, listen, we need to take care of these people. We need to set up, you know, and make it so that they can have access to all the things that we pay for because they're unfortunate. Somewhere in the middle lies the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the idea that these people just are here and then they're illegal immigrants and we don't address the issue at all. They just sort of stay here. That's what we do in California.
Yeah.
Wasn't there a movie about that? Like the day the Mexicans left LA?
It was
like a comedy.
It is. Yeah,
where everything shut down.
Yep. Well, you can better believe that if you're talking about our city.
Yeah.
If you kicked out, like, hypothetically, every illegal person, this shit would not function.
It would shut down.
Completely shut down.
So what the fuck kind of game are we playing?
Yeah, it's
we're pretending this thing that they're not a part of us.
Oh, it's crazy. They totally, whatever your position is, the one undeniable truth is that the economy functions, a huge part of it, because we have illegal immigrants working in it. And that goes not just for Southern California. That's across the board.
Across the board. I mean, in other countries or in other cities in the country, it's probably less significant. But here, it's fucking gigantic.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a whole lot.
The idea that we just let that stay that way and just, it's a mess. It's complicated. It's a political issue because you can't say that you want to do immigration reform because you're going to lose the vote of the Latinos.
Right.
The Latinos that are here legally, the last thing that they're going to want is you to say that you're going to make it tougher. So you're going to lose that vote.
Yeah.
So you have to decide.
It's a big vote now.
But if you say that you're going to, you say that you're going to let them in and you're going to, you know, make it easier, then you're going to lose the vote of the hardcore right.
Right.
And you're going to lose a lot of the corporations, which are probably benefiting on using immigration labor, and it's certainly benefiting
cheap labor.
Certainly benefiting on the shit like they did with the WTO when they started moving factories down to Mexico. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of goddamn corporations that benefited from that.
Yeah, it's so funny, like how you know that you can always the corporations support whatever makes them.
Of course, they don't give a fuck. They're not real. You know, they're a construct, and a construct designed to create more numbers.
Yeah.
That's all they are. The fact that there's people running it is inconsequential. It's essentially a machine unto itself.
It's a money-making machine. Yeah. Like, it's literal creepy. Money-making machine. Yeah, like, this is not labor-related, but like what Carl Icahn's trying to do now to Apple.
What's he trying to do?
Well, he's a big shareholder, and, you know, he's a famous corporate raider. And so he's trying to get Apple to do a massive buyback. Because they're sitting on a hoard of cash.
Yeah.
Over $145 billion.
That's amazing.
Cash. Not like perceived value of a share. Cash money.
Yeah, they're like bigger than most countries.
They're bigger than big investment bank firms.
Well, they're bigger than the United States, really, because the United States is in debt.
Yeah, so they're just
right. We're trillions of dollars in debt.
Best money making. I mean, it's a lot of cash.
So this guy's trying to do what?
He's trying to get them to buy back shares of Apple. So if you own stock, basically, Apple would have to use some of that cash to benefit the investor. The guy that owns stock in Apple will now make money because they're buying back.
So they would buy back their shares. In return, they would be
the share price would go through the roof. So you'll if you own stock, you're gonna be increase in value.
And they would be a private company then.
Well, they wouldn't buy back
all of it.
Yeah, just some of it. And he wants them basically, you know, do something for the investor. Yes.
Yeah, do something with all that cash.
With all that cash. But see, Apple doesn't want to bring that cash back. It sits overseas. So that they don't have to pay crazy high corporate tax rates.
Dirty Apple. They have so much money, though, Dirty Apple.
Exactly.
Dirty Apple. Get that money back into circulation.
He's having conversations with them, but if they are unwilling, then Mr. Icahn will bring something to the board, the shareholders meeting, and people will vote on whether or not to go through with this buyback.
So, wow. I never thought I'd be on the side of a corporate raider.
Yeah, I know, right? And he's worth, by the way, $20 billion himself.
He probably wants the biggest yacht ever. And yeah. He's just like, damn, if I just make this happen, then I'll get the biggest yacht ever.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's in it. He just loves this. Loves it. It's not about, I need, you know, more money.
Yeah, people who say that I don't need money, I don't need much money. I agree with you. You're better having a happy life, doing what you want to do, than having tons of money and being unhappy.
Yeah.
However, there's something to be said for being a guy who has $20 billion. Because I know, me personally, if I had $20 billion, I could make a lot of shit happen.
Yeah.
Okay?
I could
make a lot of shit happen. I think I would start restructuring society if I had $20 billion fucking dollars. I would make some moves.
Yeah,
you almost have a responsibility.
You do
to do like the idea that you couldn't do good with $20 billion. You know what kind of community centers you could set up with $20 billion. You know what kind of educational foundations, research foundations, how much money you could give to applied sciences,
so yeah.
And how much money you can give to the right politicians. $20 billion is a lot of money.
That's kind of the principle behind that giving pledge. Is there like you have world-changing money.
Yeah.
So why don't you, you know, do something? You got your houses and yachts and planes. Like, you know, let's make some changes.
The amount of money those guys have, when you really stop and think about
it's
corporate raider type
it's
characters.
Crazy.
You know those houses? You ever see those houses in the Hamptons?
Yeah.
Where you fly over and they look like castles?
Yeah.
And you just go, I didn't even know this existed.
Yeah.
These 30-acre compounds with these 50,000 square feet homes, and you're looking at it like, what is that?
I mean, the staff running that home is its own economy.
Well,
you know?
Evander Holyfield had a house in Atlanta.
I remember that.
And it was like 110 rooms,
yes.
And it cost more than $1 million a year to run.
Yeah.
To run! A million!
It's a lot.
A million, Tommy Buns. That means he's paying $100,000 a month.
In his home.
Just taking care of his home.
House. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that house fucked him.
Yeah, he had to unload that house.
I don't even think he did. I think they took it from him. Oh, who the fuck's going to buy that thing?
Did you see, by the way, when we were talking, we were having dinner.
We'll go to a man. That's Tyson's house. Tyson's house was dog shit compared to
Vander's is crazy.
To Tyson's house that he abandoned in Ohio was, I don't know why he bought a house in Ohio either, by the way.
That's where he's from.
Is he from Ohio?
Yeah.
No. Mike Tyson?
He grew up in Brownsville.
I thought he was born in Canton or Akron or something.
No. He was born in Brooklyn.
Okay.
Well, let's find out.
Yeah, he's a New York guy.
Well, I know he lived there.
I think he's Brooklyn born, and then, you know, the training with Cuss
maybe
was up in.
The training was in Ohio then.
Was in. At some point, maybe, right? Because it was Catskills and then maybe later there.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he's born in New York.
I don't know. It doesn't say here. It just says he's 47.
Doesn't say his place of birth? Wow.
I'm looking in his wiki. Can't find it yet. Born in Brooklyn. Yeah.
Sorry.
How dare you, Jamie?
God damn it, Jamie.
Disinformation.
Doing
why did
this?
He buy a house in Ohio, then?
Because just because someone buys a house in Ohio doesn't mean they're from Ohio.
No.
There's a lot of people. You're downgrading Ohio, son, and you're from Ohio, so how dare you?
He's just reeling off that Buckeyes loss.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, he's a little...
Poor bastard.
He's a little butthurt over that.
You guys
Sparty.
Are talking sports. You guys are talking shit I don't know nothing about.
In and out. We're done with it.
The Evander Holyfield house. Pull that shit up if you can, because it's quite stunning. The grounds. It was like a giant golf course.
Do you remember when we were talking about like how crazy, you know, Mayweather lives?
Yeah.
I was like, but Pacquiao.
Oh, he don't give a fuck. Yeah.
Pacquiao's the one who's gonna come. You see how he's having money problems?
Oh well, they took his money. The government shut all his money off
because he owes crazy amounts of money, right?
Allegedly.
Yeah.
What this is what he says. He paid taxes in America on his winnings.
Mm-hmm.
They want him to pay taxes again for the Philippines.
Oh, my God.
And he's like, look, I already paid. And they're saying he owes $50 million.
Oh, my God.
So they took all his money. They just took it all. So, like, he wanted to help tsunami victims or the typhoon. Look at Holyfield's house.
Oh, my God.
And they closed his bank accounts. Look at Holyfield's house. My God. When you see this house, just go back to the outside photo again. Look at the fucking size of that. That's so crazy. Can you pull back and see, like, in perspective with the grounds? See if they have one that shows the grounds.
It looks like the fucking
109 rooms.
Biltmore estate.
Look
oh,
at
my
the
God.
Fucking aerial view.
Yeah.
Isn't it amazing that within a couple of decades, all that money is gone? Like, that guy was making so much money when he beat, like, when he beat Riddick Bowe and back when he was the heavyweight champ and he beat Mike Tyson.
These are like $30, $40 million paydays, right? Like, when you, I think.
I don't know. I would assume that he yeah. was, like, make. I don't think anybody made the kind of money that Floyd Mayweather is making now. Floyd Mayweather is making, like, $100 million a fight.
Yeah.
Like, he might make $100 million for the Canelo Alvarez fight. It's because he's also a promoter.
Yeah.
And he and nobody sells pay-per-views like that fucking guy. He's a wizard.
Yeah, he is.
He's selling it for $7 million? What? What?
109 rooms.
Is that what it says?
Yeah.
It says he sold it for $7 million? Pull back on that. That is fucking insane. Costs more than $1 million annually to maintain.
Wait,
he's selling it for $7 million. He sold it for $7.5 million.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
He made $230 million.
Child support cases in Georgia, Texas, and California.
He's double digit, kids.
Yeah, he likes shooting loads and girls. It's fun.
Yeah, it's fun. Feels good.
It's the best thing. Best thing ever. He just didn't give a fuck, I guess.
Guess not, man.
But that's crazy.
What do you
Child
mean,
support payments ate up his $230 million. You know, you hear stories. You know, I know a girl whose sister tried to get a guy pregnant by taking the condom out of the trash and
what?
Like, and squirting it into her body.
Really?
Yeah, it was like a basketball player or something like that.
Yeah, that's like a big thing in NBA circles. It's like the hoes show up. I know a guy who works for a team, and is he's like the hoe patrol. Like they show up, you know, they always know the hotels, and they. They make themselves available, these guys, you know? Like, they're wanting to get pregnant.
I'm sure.
Yeah, so they really have to, you have to really, what, or you get it, man, and then they know the process. They, like, they're already set up with the lawyer for when they get pregnant to how to, the file for child support. Like, it's already ready to go.
Ugh.
Because that's just the goal is pregnancy.
Well, it's like those accident attorneys that you see like late night. Have you been injured?
Right.
Do you need medical assistance?
Did you take cum?
Are you in pain?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you take cock? Did you get pregnant by a basketball player? We have the solution. So they probably just have like
Would you like
a
to
template.
Make $25, $35, $45,000 a month just for letting your pussy get
bang,
beaten
bang,
up?
Bang.
Call me. Yeah.
That's amazing that people would do that, that they would actually bring a life into the world just for profit.
Just for profit. Absolutely.
But when you think about it, if you got no money and then all of a sudden the possibility of making $35,000 a month
That's
and
so
having
money.
A kid that you love.
That's so much money to somebody who's not making money.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And it'll give you status. You know, if you're carrying around
yeah.
like some famous guy, Allen Iverson's kid.
Sure.
You get status.
But I got some bad news for you. If you had Allen Iverson's kid, you might not get that check this month.
Well, he was another one, right? How much money did that guy make in his career?
Over $200 million. It's gone. It's funny that we were talking about lotto winners and how they fucking fall apart. These guys earned their money from their skill, and it's all gone, too. It's
$200 million.
It's a lot of money.
$200 million?
Dude, he made crazy money playing, and he had significant endorsements. I mean, that was a guy making $20 and $25 million a year, year after year after year.
This just hurts my feelings.
Yeah, it's really upsetting.
It really does. It hurts my feelings. I can't understand it. I don't understand that much. Why wouldn't you take like $10 million, put it somewhere? Just $10 million.
You wish, man. You wish you had. I'm sure. I mean, I'm sure that would be so much money to him right now. You're like, oh, I got that $10 million. $10 million,
yeah. Just live in a nice neighborhood.
Yeah.
You know, buy a decent house for $500,000 or whatever.
Yeah.
Just live normal.
Live normal.
Live normal.
I think because it's so much, And, like, you know, like, especially, like, in basketball where your money's guaranteed.
Yeah.
You made, like, $20 million this year, and you spent crazy, and they're like, dude, you got another $130 coming to you.
Do you remember Iran Barkley?
Who?
Iran Barkley.
Uh-uh.
Iran Barkley was a world champion boxer. Beat Tommy Hearns. Fought Roberto Duran. Fought some of the greats. Was homeless. Made millions of dollars. And one of the things that he said was that there was a problem with him when he was younger. It was keeping up with all his friends. Like, he became friends with all these rich athletes.
Yeah.
And they would all, like, you know, hey, I got this new Benz. Hey, I got this new house. Hey, I got the, and he would try to keep up with them, you know.
Yeah. They focus on that, on the competitive part of athletes with money on that documentary Broke that Billy Corbin made.
What is that documentary? Because Billy Corbin is fucking awesome.
He's
the
awesome.
Same guy that did Cocaine Cowboys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's done two documentaries for ESPN, their 30 for 30 series.
Oh.
One was about, it's called The U, and it's about University of Miami's football program and dominance and how they basically came from nothing to just crazy heights of just five, you know, BC or five national championships. And then the other one he made was called Broke, and it's about athletes who have, you know, basically spent it all. But one of the parts of that, when they're talking about sort of the psychology of how you end up going broke, is the guys were saying, you know, you show up at the practice facility, and like Joe's got, you know, a Ferrari F430, and you're like, God damn. He's like, check this shit out, man. And then you're like, that's nice. Fuck, I got to top Joe. I'm going to go get a Lambo Aventador tomorrow and show up. What's up, man? Check out my shit. And then you each just spent $400,000 that week, you know?
Like,
so if you're always doing that, you know, and then you show up with a new chain. I'm like, that's a nice chain. I got to show up with some hot shit too. Like, it's the same thing about us shooting pool and racing on the track and, you know, hitting the bench press. That competitive thing, that goes into then the money spending. So you're always – and if you're talking about – you know, team. You have 50 teammates. You know, you're just competing. You're always competing.
Everybody's just buying bigger and crazier shit.
Yep. And no one telling you this is a really bad idea.
They're
man.
Taking care of families too. Bernie Kosar took care of 50 families.
50 families.
He was responsible for financially.
50.
50.
Why was he responsible?
He felt the responsibility. Like this says in the this article is about it. It says that. They called it the hitting the ghetto lottery, and they felt a responsibility to take care of their friends and family. Like Andre Rison was taking care of 40 people.
Oh my God!
Bernie Kosar taking
Travis
care of
families. Travis Henry is the all time great as far as fucking making kids with a lot of people, and then having what? Can you?
It says,
This
says 9 kids with 9 moms for $17,000 per month.
Look at this. But hold on a second. Look at this part. But it's not just known friends and families that hound these instant millionaires. It's also young ladies with an eye for upward mobility. One restaurant owner in the nation's capital confessed that she had 7,000 women who would receive an automatic text message every time Michael Jordan walked into the joint during his stretch as a Wizard. Typically, over 2,000 women would heed the call. Of course, these rich young ballers aren't exactly turning ladies away either. That is unbelievable.
2000.
So Jordan would show up at a place and 2,000 women would show up to meet him there. 7,000 women would get the text message.
Michael Jordan. Oh, my God. Imagine the pussy that has been thrown at Michael Jordan. It's not even. You can't even wrap your head around
it. You know what it's like? It's like locusts.
Yeah.
Just, just step outside.
Oh, yeah. He has multiple suits now. For people that are like, this is your kid, and he's actually won suits, and he's like,
he keeps winning them
because that's how, you know, he's so famous. I think there's probably people that did fuck, like, you did fuck me. He's like, I didn't make a kid with you.
Well, there's also probably, I'm sure, but there's also probably people that are like hoping that he'll just pay him.
Of course,
just shut up.
Here's $300,000 of shut up. Yeah,
yeah, but you can't just keep doing that.
No,
especially when you're not making money anymore. I mean, how much those Hanes commercials pay?
Oh, he makes unbelievable money still.
Doing what?
Well, his shoe brand is the absolute craziest.
Oh, that's his.
That's
so
his.
Air Jordans,
I mean,
are his. Air, so it's Nike?
Nike owns his brand of Air Jordan, but he is a huge, huge benefactor of that brand. And he is the number one shoe among, like, that, you know, basketball shoes are a huge, huge multi-billion dollar business.
Yeah.
His shoes still outsell LeBron and Kobe. Which is, and he's been done for years.
That's so crazy.
Yeah, I would say that Michael Jordan still probably makes probably like $40 million a year.
God damn.
Yeah. He's as far as business goes, he is set up, man.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I didn't even think about the sneakers. But it is incredible when you hear about a guy who was so awesome that still to this day.
It's amazing his power.
Name rings in the yeah. hallowed halls.
They do that. Oh, look. I'm sorry. I was off by 40 million.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's insane. But how many athletes can say that?
None. None. He's number one. Incredible. They do that. I think it's like a Q rating where they rank the impact of just athletes,
mm-hmm.
and the top 10 is like always the craziest list of guys who we all know who they are. Tiger Woods,
right.
I mean, Michael Jordan is number one. He's been number one for like 25 years, and the lowest he ever dipped, he went to like number two once under Tiger Woods. And
oh,
then back
he's
to
probably
one.
Pissed.
Very pissed.
I bet he was.
Yeah.
He apparently, if you beat him in a game of pool, he won't talk to you for 2 weeks.
I bet. Yeah, they
he's
said
just
he's
fucking crazy.
Oh, yeah. He's
just
crazy.
Completely crazy and competitive still.
They showed him playing at a hotel. He was playing beer pong with, like, these people a few weeks ago. And you can see him. He's fucking focused on his shot, shooting ping pong balls in
that
the
cup. That seems like it would be unfair. He would know more about the dynamics of things bouncing than the average person. You know,
I bet he took that shit super seriously, too.
I bet he did. He's got a deep knowledge.
And
of
if
balls.
You won that, he was like, fuck that. Round two's up right now.
Ah, double or nothing. Yeah. Double or nothing.
Definitely.
And just stacks of money on the table. He's bringing in dudes with suitcases.
Yeah. Yeah.
Apparently, he's like that with golf. That's Definitely. What they say. Yeah. They say in golf, he is a maniac. And he actually, there was an article that was written about him. I don't know if it's true or not, but some guy who claimed that he owed millions of dollars or half $1 million.
There was a book about it. There's a book about it. He was a thing is that he is a notorious gambler.
Mm-hmm.
He's also a really good golfer. Like he has a real game, you know. And he would it wasn't uncommon for him to bet $250,000 on a round of golf. And he would also,
God.
They said like when he goes to Vegas, he does you know shit like that for fun. Because he makes $80 million a year. So
isn't that
like,
incredible?
Yeah.
What a weird life that guy has.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And he's getting married.
He got married. Yeah.
Some young hottie, too.
She's so hot.
Oof.
A little Cuban. I think she's a half Cuban or a Cuban down
just
in
like,
Florida.
Fuck it. I'll just give her a little piece.
Yeah.
Give a little piece of this cash.
You think that's pretty airtight prenup you get when you marry Michael Jordan?
Oh, I imagine it goes through several layers of lawyers. Yeah. Like
sure
looking for
and when your lawyer sends it back, they're like, "Listen, do you like him? Do you want this to work?" There's no other lawyer.
Just sign it. You can't.
You don't negotiate. You get 23 and you for life. That's a good deal, right?
And he's just a maniac gambler, just going off with mm-hmm. that $80 million a year coming in every year.
And that's why you can't say shit about what he's gambling. I lost $1 million gambling today. So. Yeah.
10 years plus, he's making like $100. I mean, think about that.
It's so crazy.
$100 million a year, close to it for 10 years. I mean, how long does it take? Does he have a billion? Do you think he has a billion? Probably
I think
has
so.
A billion.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're making $80 million a year,
and he was famous for.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was him or his agent at the time, but he's famous for being one of the innovators in that when he was getting these crazy endorsement deals, he was getting stock as part of his deals. So like he would get millions of dollars to sponsor, you know, to be the endorser of Gatorade, but then it insisted on owning stock. Well, guess what? When Michael Jordan started endorsing Gatorade, stock went up pretty significantly and he made many, many more millions than he would have. So he's pretty innovative in that sense, too.
It's incredible when you hear a guy like him and then you hear a guy like Tyson who's telling his story now on HBO.
Yeah.
He does it in a Broadway show.
Of how I lost $300 million.
Yeah. I mean, the difference in the two, it's pretty substantial. It's all, you know, another thing is, too, basketball, you're not getting hit in the fucking head.
That helps.
Getting hit in the head definitely increases your amount of shitty decisions that you make.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
Yep.
No doubt. I mean, think about how shitty your brain works when you're exhausted.
Oh, yeah.
Now, think about it after an exhausting fight of getting fucking thumped in the head for 12 rounds. Now, think about doing that over the course of 20-plus years.
A lot of cloudy judgment.
There's going to be some shitty decision makes.
Yeah.
Some shitty 109-room houses that you have built. No, and they're like, Evander, do you know how much this is going to cost?
I'd make a lot of money.
I'm a champ. Don't worry about it. God will provide.
Real deal.
Jesus will provide me with my bounty.
Okay.
He's still fighting.
Evander's fighting?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah, I think he just tried to fight recently. And he couldn't get, I think it was, maybe it was.
Here's what I want to know. Is Riddick Bowe still fighting? Because that wasn't good a while ago.
He fought recently in a Muay Thai fight.
Oh,
and it was really sad. It was really, really sad. He got leg kicked. He got stopped by leg kicks, but it was just devastating, man. Yeah, he's 51 years old, and he's still fighting. He's still trying to fight. He still looks good, actually. And he's, as far as, like, boxers go, talks pretty good. Oh, my
God. Evander.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, people are still talking about him fighting. I mean, who knows? Wow. Holly, 4 hours ago. This is crazy. 4 hours ago, Evander Holyfield mansion fails to sell at auction.
Failed to sell?
Yep. Back on market. It's back on market, son. It was $6.8 million. Wow. It's back on the free market for $6.8 million. They tried. So it was purchased by J.P. Morgan Chase last year for $7.5 million. After he defaulted on his debt. So then they tried to sell it at auction. Nobody wanted it. And now it's on sale for $6.8 million. That is a fucking steal.
You got to be able to make money on that somehow, man.
No. No, no one cares.
No, I'm saying make money like if you buy it now. Like if you were to buy that house.
I doubt it.
Really?
I bet it's some, yeah. No. The only reason why no one's buying it is because they can't make money on it. I mean, to have a house like that, that house is going to sit on the market for a long fucking time. And who's going to buy it? Is it going to be some new LeBron James type guy?
Right.
That's the only type of guy that's going to buy it.
Right.
And even then, they're going to look at that and go, 109 fucking rooms?
I know.
Do I need 109? No, I need like
20.
20.
Yeah.
Yeah, 20's good. And a basketball court.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, we can get you that. I'm like, yeah, let's do that.
You can get that. And you get like 89 other rooms. Why don't you want this? It's a
staff.
Great deal.
You got staff everywhere.
Of course, it's crazy.
It would be like living in the Shining House.
It should be, yeah. It should be like, they need to reach out to like some Middle Eastern, you know.
Some baller.
Yeah,
some
yeah.
Dubai type dude who's a boxing fan. Prince like, Nassim Hamed's friend.
Just maybe one day I'll go to Georgia. Just buy that.
Yeah,
and we'll stay there
for a paltry $6.8 million. You know, a guy
not
like
a lot, man.
One of those Sultan of Brunei type characters.
Totally
buy that shit up with the quickness, son.
Give me that shit. Did you check out my special bombing episode that I aired?
No, you told me about it. We were talking about it before the podcast. It's funny. We're almost 3 hours in. We were gonna mention it, or 2 hours in. What the fuck happened? You were up in Winnipeg.
I was up in Winnipeg. I was doing this club that I've done many times called Rumors. It's an old club. It's a good club. And it was a Saturday night. And instead of, like, regular comedy club crowd, it happened to be, like, private event people. Like, a group of 80 was doing their corporate party. You know what I mean? So it wasn't, like, it wasn't individuals buying one and two tickets.
Right. It was just a giant group.
Giant groups. And there was, like, three groups. One was like 80, one was 60. So you don't, like, it's more like you're doing a corporate, like you're doing a private event, you know? And I break it down. If you want to listen to, it's episode 172 of Your Mom's House. And I play the audio from this thing falling off the rails. And I mean, it is, like, there was a lady who worked at the club. She's been there 20 years. And she told me, she goes, I've never seen shit like that, even close to that before.
What happened?
It was, I mean, I think it's like a combination of things happening to make it fall apart that way. Basically, I went up there. I had one guy in the front row who I fucking, you know, when you just hate somebody and you fixate on them because like this one guy who was like kind of mumbling, talking, tagging my everything I said.
Oh, no.
You know, he's like, yeah, I bet you'd like that. And you're like, what? What did you just say?
Wow.
I said, so one of those guys who I fucking absolutely lost my shit. I didn't lose my shit on him, but I kind of tried to straighten him out. And then there was one of the groups of like 50, 60 people was like being super loud and like the first, like really talking loud. And I went to talk to them. They were kind of like just like kind of shitty about it. And mm-hmm. The thing is, like, it's different when you do a regular show and you, let's say you go after somebody or you go after a table, you're just working on five people maybe, right? A group that like, but then everybody else in that room has nothing to do with them.
Right.
In this case, it was more like mob mentality, where when I was like, hey, go fuck yourself, then the group is like, you're talking
side.
To us.
Yeah.
Not you're not just talking to them. You're talking to my group of 80. So then it was like, no, fuck you. Like, but in unison is all of them. And then it just went. Then I tried to put it back on the rails, which I was like, I'm sure I can. I've done this 1,000 times. Let me put this back together. Fuck you, man. Like, it was like,
they were
go.
Yelling that at you?
Dude, they were booing in unison for like 15, 20 minutes.
The 80 people.
At this point, it was more than their group, so it was probably 200 people doing that.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So it was their group, and then other groups chimed in and started booing you, too? Unrelated groups?
Yes. Yes.
Whoa.
It was pretty crazy.
Wow.
And then they're like, bring back the... I had a black feature actor, like, bring back the black guy. Like, screaming that. Screaming it, man. And it went...
Wow.
And I... Here's the thing. I resigned to the fact that it was so crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It was less emotional. And I talk about this on that episode than... Your standard bombing, like when you're bombing in a regular bombing where it's just not going your way, and you start to sweat, and you're like, man, this fucking sucks. I'm chewing dicks up here. But like, and that like emotionally affects you. This was different in that I felt like their response to me was so outrageous. Like, I felt like it was unwarranted how upset they were, that it affected me less. Like, I was just standing up there. I was like, all right, guys, here, ready for some more jokes? As they're booing me, you know, like not as, I wasn't as flustered as I've been during a regular.
A real bomb.
Yes.
So you were just dealing with a giant group of cunts.
Yes.
A school of cunts.
Yes.
Swimming through your pond.
Yeah, exactly.
And why didn't the club do something about that?
That's the only part I take responsibility. I try to make it clear on that episode that like, I take responsibility for yelling at a guy. For insulting people. Like, I'm saying I put it on myself that I made things go downhill. The club takes responsibility for kind of not really policing. And they, like, the one part is I told a guy that he had to go. I was like, you have to go. You're gone. See you later. And, you know, I've done that before. Sometimes you have to do that. Like, you're out of here, man.
Right.
And then they were like, the club came and talked, and they're like, just give him another chance. He's going to be good now. And I was like, I've already thrown him out. Like, there's no, we're not negotiating now.
Right. So the club asked to keep the guy there?
Yes. So
why
that
did they
part,
do that?
I don't know. But they now realize that that was fucked up.
Oh.
Like, I've talked to them and they're like, that was our
Some bad. People you can give a second chance. I've most likely, most of the time, I've asked clubs to leave people alone. Like,
yes.
Oh, they're okay. They're okay.
Yeah,
they're They're just
I've done
don't
that.
Do that again. And they'll say that. I'm like, you can't yell shit out. It's just too confusing.
I've done that a bunch of times. Like, he's okay.
Right.
But time, the difference was this time I was saying,
get him out. What was he saying to you while this was going on?
He was the mumbler, the tagger.
Uh-huh.
And
right.
Like, so we had our first interaction. We had another interaction. I think the third time I said something to him. I was like, what the fuck did you say? I forget exactly what he said. And then I was like, oh, you're a tough guy? And he's like, do you want to step outside and find out? And I was like, you can go outside because you're out of here. You're done. Get out of my fucking show. It's my show. You're out of here. And they were like, what? And his table, he goes, we all go. I go, great. Have a great night. Get the fuck out of here. I don't need you here. That's when the crowd, the problem we felt like we were discussing what happened. I was talking about it with the club, the guy, is that a lot of people in that room didn't know what he was saying.
Right.
So they thought I was just attacking a guy for no reason.
Right. That makes sense.
But I was an asshole that night.
But that's, you know, the guy was clearly, he was instigating it.
Yeah, he was a fucking cunt. He was a real cunt of a guy. And I didn't like him at all. And, you know, I don't think that, like I always say, I don't have to be, like, pleasing to the different, like, you know, I'm there doing comedy. You came to see my stand-up. If you're not liking it, that's cool. But if you try to take over the room, no.
Well, it's not just taking over the room. It's interfering.
Yeah, it's interfering.
It's interfering with the performance, and it's there's hundreds of other people that have to deal with the fact that you have to deal with this guy.
Yeah, yeah.
It just it's all in how to do it and not lose your cool. And when you lose your cool, it's a bad scene. It's a terrible feeling too.
It's crazy, and the audio is insane. I mean, you've probably not heard a bombing
like that.
Yeah, it's a different. It's not like a standard bombing. I mean, there's a lot of aggression from the crowd on it.
And how does it end?
Well, the best part, because I also was bummed at myself for not. I was like, you always look at moments where you're like, I wish I had said something funnier here.
Right.
This was an opportunity to be funny, really, you know? So I was like, a lot of it, they won. Like, they defeated me. I was like, but the only funny thing I'd said was, like, at one point, the manager came up to the stage, and he was like, are you okay? Like, he was checking. He came on stage and was like, because it was so crazy in there. He's like, you all right? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, do you want to keep going? I was like, yeah. And he's like, okay. So he leaves, and they're like, yeah, that's right. Get the – because they think he's telling me get off stage.
Right.
And I go, he asked me if you guys wanted me to bring back the other guy. And they go, yeah. Like, they scream yes. And I go, I told him you guys want more of me. So here I am for more jokes. And they're like, boo. Like, they go crazy. So they go so crazy at that part.
And these are Canadians too.
Yeah, they go fucking
some of the nicest people ever. Yes.
But in the very end – the lady who was running one of the private events that night, like, she brought her group there.
Mm-hmm.
She was in tears. She was crying. And they brought her on stage. They were like, she wants to say something. And I was like, okay. Because my plan was just stay here the entire time, no matter what. Talk about recipes that you want to try. Like, and just don't
fuck
please
them.
Yeah.
Right.
She gets up there and she's like, please. I've done fundraisers here. Like, I really wanted this to be a good night. And I see, like, how, like, she's way affected by this. Please give him the respect of, like, some just your time and, like, just let him talk. And they're like, it's too fucking late for that. Fuck it. Like, they're going crazy.
Oh,
right?
Wow.
And she's, and I see her, like, just, like, she's defeated. It's like someone was beating her up.
Right.
You know? And I was like, oh, my God. And I go, you know what? This is 35 minutes in to what's supposed to be, like, a 55-minute set. So there's 20 minutes to go. I was like, you know what? I want her to have a fun night. She it affected me that she was so. I was like, I'll tell you what, because you're a nice lady and blah blah blah, I go, I'll bring back the black guy. So I brought the black guy back on stage.
Wow.
And they went fucking, it was like I said, ladies and gentlemen,
Chris
Dave
Rock.
Chappelle. Yeah. They went crazy.
Wow.
And I was like, dude, it's all you. He was like, oh, my God, I can't believe people actually like black people here. Like, he was so excited.
Does he have any more material?
Yeah, yeah, he had his name, I should give him credit, too. His name is Trix.
That's his whole name?
Yes.
Like Silly Rabbit?
Trix are for kids, yeah.
Wow.
But, Trix. I mean, like, you know, he goes.
Black guys can pull that off.
They can pull shit like that off. It's TRI double X, I think.
So that's on what episode of Your Mom's House?
172.
All right.
It's a fun episode.
Good for you,
to.
Dude, for putting that audio up. It takes balls.
Yeah, I wanted to,
there's
man.
Tricks.
I was trying to. Yeah, there's Tricks. He did a good job, man. I totally give him credit.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fun. An interesting story. I'm gonna listen to that podcast. I gotta get out of here.
Yeah, yeah.
I got shit I gotta do.
Let's roll.
What's next for Tommy Buns?
What is next?
When are we gonna work together again, man? We gotta do some gigs.
Yeah, we're definitely gonna do. We're gonna do something, right?
What are we doing? We doing New York City
in January?
Yes, we're doing New York. We're doing the Grand Ballroom or something like that in Manhattan, the Manhattan Center.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then, December 27th through New Year's, Christina and I are at, so we're doing New Year's at the DC Improv.
Oh, beautiful. So great club.
Yeah, we'll be there.
Love that place.
Washington, D.C.
Cold as shit, though, son. You're going to be in Maryland.
It'll be cold.
D.C.
Yeah.
You're going to be down there when it's freezing.
I'm going to freeze my dick off.
Oh, yeah. That's fucking cold.
Yeah. Very
fun.
But then I have like 20 new dates to add to my calendar, so those will be up for 2014.
So we'll do, we're going to do that together. And what else are we doing? Are we doing something else?
Yes.
What?
Phoenix, January 10th and 11th.
Oh, that's right.
Yes.
Oh, good googly moogly.
Yeah, so that's two.
Phoenix, we're doing stand-up live at Phoenix, January 10th and 11th. Yeah, that's right.
Is there
Tony
fights?
Tony Hinchcliffe doing that, too.
Oh, no shit.
No, it's just the weekend.
Just comedy.
Friday and Saturday night. Having some fun.
All
right, thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Thanks to 1-800-Flowers for sponsoring it for the first time. We hope you didn't get offended at our use of bad language. and in our descriptions of your fucking awesome flowers.
Guys, buy flowers. What's wrong with you?
1-800-Flowers.com. Enter in the code word JRE and get yourself a Fields of Europe Christmas arrangement and receive $10 off. That's offer code JRE when you click on the little microphone in the right-hand corner. Thanks also to Ting. Go to rogan.ting.com and get yourself $25 off your first Ting device when you sign up. Thanks also to onnit.com. That's O-N-N-I-T. Use the code word Rogan. Save 10% off any and all supplements. We'll be back next week. Shane Smith and Eddie Huang, both together on one show at the same time. Shit is going to be crazy. And Lee Camp will be here next week as well. He'll also be Wednesday night. Lee Camp will be with us at the Ice House with Tony Hinchcliffe and Ian Edwards and other people. Lots more. We'll see. Tommy Buns.
One thing?
Yes.
Our good friend, the Matt
Full
Charge,
will be there too.
He has a new album out.
That's right. He'll be here soon, too. If not next week, the week after that. What's it called? At Fultron's?
It's called This Is the Part of the Job I Hate, I think. I think that's what it's called. It's on iTunes.
Beautiful. All right. Tommy Buns, ladies and gentlemen.
Peace,
Tom Segura on Twitter. Follow him and learn and grow in love and harmony. All right. We'll see you guys soon. Thank you. Bye.